Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Congratulations on getting through your 9-to-5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. We appreciate you guys being here with us on this wonderful Friday. We are going to bounce back and forth between the Chiefs and the Royals because both teams deserve time. In our 5 o'clock hour, we'll talk a little bit of college football. Not worried about Missouri this week. They got a home game against Vanderbilt. It could be a little closer than people think. Missouri's a 20-point favorite, but I feel pretty confident that Missouri is going to remain unbeaten. K-State goes on the road to take on BYU. That's a dangerous place to play. And KU, it feels like their season is possibly on the brink. They go on the road to West Virginia. It's an early game. You know that sometimes those spots are a house of horrors. We'll see how Rob feels about his Jayhawks. Let's start with the Royals, and then we'll transition to the Chiefs a little bit more in the hits. Sometimes you get a gift from the baseball gods. Sometimes you do. I just want to read to you the stats and numbers of who the Royals are going up against today. Now, I know what some of you are going to say. These are the guys that look like Sandy Koufax against the Royals. These are the guys that look like Randy Johnson back in 95 with the mullet playing for the Mariners. But let me just read to you guys a little bit of the numbers of Mason Black. Now, you might be wondering, who's Mason Black? Well, he starts for the San Francisco Giants. He is 0-4 this season. He has a 7.07 ERA. This season, he has given up 37 hits in 28 innings. He has given up 22 earned runs in 28 innings, 7 home runs. This guy is not good. Not at all. This is a gift. The Royals offense is what you would say in a slump. Everybody, including Bobby Witt Jr., and he's one of the 5 hitters, best hitters in the planet. This is a gift. You got to take advantage of this gift and get off to a good start in this series against a team that has nothing to play for and is starting someone who I'm not certain is going to be in the majors next year. If you guys don't believe me and you're thinking, Carrington, you don't know what you're talking about. Will you trust and believe Josh Vernier? He's our Royals insider. He knows what he's talking about.
Listen, there's no excuse to lose this game or lose this series. Not because the walls are closing in on you, but because you're the better team and the playoffs start soon. You know, pick it up. Both players, coaches, the fans, these final 3 games, everybody needs to pick it up a little bit.
All I want is for you guys to have a little hope and belief. And I understand that the Royals, they have to do their part in the hope and belief category. But, man, Rob, you got to figure out a way today against Mason Black. You really do. You got to figure out a way. This guy's not good. Guys get hits off him. You can win this game today. I don't care how you do it. You just got to cobble together 5 wins over the next 9 games. And at the start of that stretch, you have a gift. This is the worst starting pitcher you will face the rest of the season. It's not even close. So we won't spend too much time talking about the Royals. I do want to talk about the Chiefs. It is a Red Friday, I understand. But this is the biggest Friday game that the Royals have had in quite some time. I think the crowd is going to be out there. I think people know how important this game is. It's the weekend. The kids ain't got school tomorrow. The weather isn't going to be good tomorrow or Sunday. They move the game up. The Chiefs are out of town. KU's out of town. I think there's going to be a good crowd today. Man, they got to win today against Mason Black. If you want to see this thing really turn into a panic, let this guy put some zeros up against the home team. And trust me, the panic, I already think, is starting to bubble. They lose today with this guy on the hill, it will only make things worse. It's a gift from the baseball gods. You got to take advantage. All right, Rob, let's get to the hits.
It's 5 o'clock, and your wife has tuna casserole ready for you at home. Might as well get caught up on the biggest stories of the day in Kansas City with C-Dot and Rob. This is The Hits, number one.
Welcome to The Hits, are brought to you by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. Well, the top story of the day in Kansas City outside of the Royals is the Kansas City Chiefs. They gear up for Sunday night football against the Atlanta Falcons. Andy Reid today was asked point blank, hey, who's playing left tackle?
We'll keep Kareem down this game. The two tackles will both have an opportunity to get in there this game, the left tackles.
Carrington, both left tackles will have an opportunity to get in there. I don't want to apply quarterback logic to tackle, but is it concerning that the Chiefs are playing both? And if you have two, do you in fact not have one left tackle?
Yeah, I am a little bit worried about this, and we'll talk more about this after the hits is over. This is the left tackle competition that we expected to see all offseason. And the Chiefs, at every single turn, denied Wanye Morris snaps and gave them to Kingsley, which sounded good in theory. Now, less than a month into the season, now there is a legitimate controversy and a battle for who's going to have that spot. We talked about this all summer. There weren't a lot of spots that were up for grabs. That number two corner spot was up for grabs. Jalen Watson grabbed it. That wide receiver room needed to be solidified. It has since been solidified. The only hole that they appear to have right now is at left tackle, and they don't know who that left tackle is. Is it Kingsley? Is it Wanye Morris? I just don't want this to be a talking point for the rest of the season. This is one of the most important positions that you need to have solidified, and the Chiefs thought they were going to do it with the rookie left tackle, and they probably will do it with the left tackle. They probably can, but the growing pains that you would expect with the young player, oh, they are happening right now for Kingsley Suamata.
Number two.
Well, Carrington, the conversation around Travis Kelce is maybe not heating up nationally, at least not yet, but let Travis Kelce go out there on Sunday and have another sluggish performance, a 3-for-22 and no touchdowns. Maybe he does exactly what he did in the Bengals game, which was very, very little, and suddenly the Danny Parkins, the Nick Wright types, the Mark Schlereth, the Craig Cartons, the Kevin Wilds, pick a name, will be talking loudly about Travis Kelce on Monday morning. Do you believe Sunday could be a chance for Travis Kelce to silence potential haters and keep that conversation at bay?
I think one of the reasons that at least I am worried about this game, I can't speak for anybody else and how they feel about this game. A reason that I am a little bit worried about this game is I don't know what version of Travis Kelce they're going to get. If Travis Kelce had 6 catches for 80 yards and a touchdown, it wouldn't surprise me. If Travis Kelce had 3 catches for 25 yards, it also wouldn't surprise me in this game. You know what this offense really needs right now? Another guy with proven production. They have one in Rashee Rice so far this season. They've had another in Isaiah Pacheco, and he is now out, and that's kind of been about it. If I told you at the very beginning of the season, make me a list of who you think their 4 best offensive players are, in some order, you would have had Travis Kelce, Rice, Isaiah Pacheco, and Hollywood Brown. Well, 2 of those guys are not playing on Sunday, and one of them has gotten off to the slowest start that he ever has had in his career. So the only reason we are talking about this is what Rob said. Right now, this is just maybe a drive conversation in Kansas City conversation. If Travis Kelce plays poorly on Sunday night football with the entire country watching, it will be a national conversation. It will be on First Take. It will be on your favorite football podcast. The 2 games were, oh, hey, all right, the one got called back. the Chiefs could desperately use a good version of Travis Kelce on the road on Sunday night.
Number three.
Speaking of Atlanta on the road Sunday night, Chad Millman of the Action Network was on Colin Cowherd's podcast, and he said, listen, Chiefs fans, I get why you're excited, but people who bet professionally, they are all over Atlanta.
Falcons plus 3.5, sharper square.
Totally sharp. The wise guys have been moving this. It was at 4.5, then to 4, now to 3.5. Would not be surprised if it gets down to 3. Two sides of the coin, both telling the same story, which is fade the Chiefs. On the one side, Patrick Mahomes, as a favorite of more than 3 points, historically, he is under 500. Now, of course, Patrick Mahomes is almost always a favorite and oftentimes a favorite of more than 3 points. So there is some, you know, take that with a grain of salt, but it is the fact. This offensive line is in trouble. They have injuries. They are sitting starters. They have guys who are causing too many penalties. Like you said, there are still some questions at the receiver positions, which she writes, great, but outside of that, what is your downfield threat? We haven't seen it from worthy other than some really cool trick plays. Mm-hmm. Pacheco, I think, is a massive problem being out. And Mahomes hasn't looked that good, right? You look at the Chiefs, the Ravens, a shoe toe away from being in that game and tying that game. You look at the Bengals, a fourth down pass interference against a rookie. The Chiefs could easily be 1-1 or 0-2. Number two, their rush defense, as great as Chris Jones is, their rush defense is amongst the worst in the league. We know the Falcons can run the ball. We just saw them do that against the Eagles. And even better than that, their right side of their line, especially their interior center and right guard, they are as good at run blocking as anybody in football. You are correct. With the wise guys, Atlanta, plus 3.5.
For those of you that gamble on these games, it has been interesting to see the line move over the course of the last couple of days. I believe the Chiefs started as 5.5-point favorites. It's now down to 3. I think there's a chance tomorrow it's going to be 2.5 for Kansas City. And if that's the case, I think you just have to take the Chiefs to win by at least a field goal. I think that's where the smart play is. I'm torn about this game for a couple of different reasons. I would pick against the Chiefs or against whoever the road team was in this scenario for almost every other team in the league outside of Kansas City. If you told me that their starting running back wasn't going to play, one of their top offensive contributors is not healthy in Hollywood Brown, and they also have left tackle questions and they're going on the road against a team that I think is going to make the playoffs in Atlanta, that's usually not a spot where the road team is favored. So to me, the line is the ultimate sign of respect for you're the Chiefs, and there's no way we can have you going into the game being an underdog, and I don't think that they should be an underdog given the fact that they are the Chiefs. But I don't feel great about this spot. Last week, I felt really confident in Kansas City going up against Cincinnati, and I wasn't really sure where the offense was going to come from in Cincinnati. They don't have a lot of weapons currently that are healthy on that team. You don't have Joe Mixon anymore. He's gone. T. Higgins is banged up. Tyler Boyd is somewhere else. There's not a lot of weapons on that Cincinnati team. There are weapons on this Atlanta team. They got a top five running back room, in my opinion. They got a pretty deep wide receiver room. The kind of deep wide receiver room that Chiefs fans sort of envision themselves having, where you got Drake London, you got Ray-Ray McCloud, you got Darnell Mooney, you got a couple of different options and guys that can make plays out there on the outside. I think there's a lot of reasons to like Atlanta in this game. I think this is a tough spot for the Chiefs. You're going on the road, Sunday night football, and you were banged up. That usually is the combination of how you lose in the National Football League. I'm picking the Chiefs this week, but I don't feel nearly as confident about it as I did in weeks one and weeks two. I think the Chiefs can obviously win this game. I think they win this game off the strength of Patrick Mahomes, off the strength of Andy Reid, a bounce back game from Travis Kelce, and I think you win this game because of the defense. Now, I know this is not how stats work, but if you take away that final drive for Atlanta, that probably shouldn't happen. Atlanta scored 15 points last week. So for as high as I can be on Atlanta, I also have to acknowledge their offense was not doing anything prior to the drop from Saquon Barkley. And we'd be having a very different conversation about the Atlanta Falcons if they were 0-2 than them being 1-1 right now. I do think it's a little bit unfair from Chad Millman to play the shoulda, coulda, woulda game for the Chiefs and not play that game for the Atlanta Falcons. Sure, you can play it for Kansas City. Yes, change the end of the game with Isaiah Likely. Change the penalty at the end of the game. Yes, the Chiefs could be 0-2. They could be 1-1. You can't make that same argument for the Atlanta Falcons. I mean, if Atlanta run or if Philadelphia runs the ball at the end of the fourth quarter, I think they win the game. If Saquon Barkley catches the ball at the end of it, they almost for sure win the game. They get a first down. Atlanta has no timeouts left. They can knee the clock. They win the game. So Atlanta probably has more of the shoulda, coulda, wouldas than I think Kansas City has in this matchup. I think given the injuries, these two teams are closer than I think people would than it would appear. Rob, I've said all season, I will not pick the Chiefs if they are a fully healthy team. I don't think there's any team in the NFL that is going to beat them if they are fully healthy. They're not coming into this game fully healthy. What started just 3 weeks ago as a team that only had Hollywood Brown as an injury, they've kind of picked up some question marks along the way. Now, that's football. You're going to go through ebbs and flows over the course of the season. If you are going to play Kansas City, this is the best possible week to play Kansas City. I don't know if that's going to be the case next week or in 2 weeks from now. But right now, the Chiefs feel about as shaky as you can feel about a 2-0 team, certainly given the bar that they have created for themselves in the early part of the year.
Based on what you're saying, I feel like I'm more confident in the Chiefs this week than you. Not to say that you're picking against the Chiefs, but it just feels like I have more confidence. So I'm curious, as someone who feels like this could be a spot where the Chiefs get got, is it more based on the Falcons or the fact that Chiefs are on shaky ground? Because I understand the Chiefs are on shaky ground. Their left tackle is a question mark. Their running back is a question mark. Their offense has not been the high-flying one we kind of expected this season. They've had a turnover problem again this year. We've not really talked about that, but if it persists, we'll have to talk about it. The turnover problems from last year are back this year. They are on shaky ground for a 2-0 team. But where me and you just differ is I don't think the Falcons have enough to take advantage of it. We talk a lot about Kyle Pitts, and you say he's all name, no game. I feel that way about a lot of their guys. Like, Bijan Robinson is good and has had two really good games this season. But if you look at his whole Pro Football Reference page, it's not like, wow, can you believe he did that in 18 games? It's just good player. Drake London, I think, is more of a, hey, I drafted him early in fantasy because I believed in the Falcons, then he is production type of guy. Kyle Pitts 1,000% fits in this. Darnell Mooney is first team all. If that guy had a quarterback, he would really start producing. But yet, he hasn't started really, really producing at any stop. Like, and Kirk Cousins is one great drive away, and I understand that shoulda, coulda, woulda, is one great drive away from having, what, 25 total points in two games against teams that we think are going to be fighting for wild card spots. It wasn't like he played the Chiefs and the Niners in week one, too. It wasn't like, hey, you got the Lions and the Ravens. Go get them, Kirk. He got the Eagles and he got the Steelers. Like, I think a lot of my calmness about this game is I just don't believe in the Falcons or their pieces. And I don't believe in Kirk Cousins coming back from his injury yet. There's still reason for me to believe he's not at 100%. Aaron Rodgers took a few games for him to get going. And I think Aaron Rodgers is a better athlete and the injury happened earlier in the season. I don't trust the Falcons' pieces the way you do, I guess.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that kind of stems from the fact that you and I are just very different on Bijan Robinson, where I think that Bijan Robinson is the best offensive skill position player in this game, eliminating the quarterbacks. I think in terms of the running backs, wide receivers, all of those things, I think Bijan Robinson is one of the five best running backs in the league. Last year in his rookie year, he gave you 13 yards from scrimmage and 8 touchdowns. So far this year, he's averaging 5.2 yards per carry, also has 70 yards receiving. So he's a guy that in this game wouldn't be surprised if he has 80 or 90 yards rushing and also gives you 40 or 50 yards. I think this game, usually we try to find the X factor guy. Well, you need a Mecole Hardman, a Juju Smith-Schuster. No, to me, this game seems kind of simple to me. How does Kansas City do against Bijan Robinson? Because I think he is the key to everything that they do offensively. If you stop Bijan, I agree with you. I don't know if they have enough else at the high end in order to win this game. and what version of Travis Kelce do they get? And I would say my level of concern and worry for Travis Kelce is just a little more heightened than I think the average Chiefs fan is when it comes to it. This is one of the few games that I go into it just not knowing what version of Travis Kelce you're going to get based on what we've seen over the course of the last handful of regular season games and how this started. If this was 2019 Travis Kelce and you knew you were going to get the guy that was the ultimate matchup nightmare, I think the Chiefs win this game kind of comfortably. I don't know if Travis Kelce has 35 yards in this game or 95 yards in this game. So that just creates the uncertainty for me where other than Rashee Rice, because I think Rashee Rice is warranted of being in the certainty category. I would be surprised if he didn't play well in this game. He's going to get the targets, going to get the opportunity, going to get schemed open. I know they're going to get great production from Rashee Rice. Are there other players on this offense that you feel confident that they're going to have at least 50 yards? Because you're not sure if they're going to get 50 yards from Carson Steele. Are you confident they're going to get 50 yards from Travis Kelce? Do they get that from Justin Watson? If they get decent version of Travis Kelce, I think they win this game.
Can you say the same things about the Falcons, though?
100%.
Like Bijan's going to get his yards the same way Rashee's going to get his yards. Are we sure Drake London's going to get any? Are we sure Darnell Mooney's going to get any? Are we sure Kyle Pitts? Now, I actually kind of would, Nate, if there were a game where I think Kyle Pitts might look like the Kyle Pitts, it's against the Chiefs, because the Chiefs' way of defending tight ends through two games is just don't and let's see what happens. Like, that's Mike Gesicki's been great and Isaiah Likely's been great. I mean, I understand what you're saying. The Chiefs' weaponry is questionable right now because Kelce doesn't look like Kelce and Pacheco's watching from the sideline. But I think even with a relative full bill of health, that's the same way the Falcons are. Bijan can be Bijan, which, by the way, he was hot and cold last year. I know different coach, new system, blah, blah, blah. But he was Katy Perry, hot and cold, yes then no. That was him last season. This season, Drake London, I don't know what he's going to do. I don't know what Kyle Pitts is going to do. I have no idea what Mooney's going to look like. And I think, I know it's not a skill position player. I also don't know what Kirk Cousins is going to look like because, what, 9 months ago he was taken off the field in Minnesota with an Achilles injury, and then he started working out on a tennis court. I'm just to believe he's back full go. I think that's where my lack of faith in Atlanta comes from more so than anything else.
Coming up on the other side, we had the afternoon host from Atlanta join us on the show earlier this week. Also, the color commentary. We'll play the best of what they had to say, and we'll also get you ready for a very important series at Kauffman Stadium this weekend as the Royals play host to the Giants. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5. The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
All right, let me play a couple of cuts for you guys, and we'll get back to the Royals here coming up in a bit. I do want to talk about the Royals a little bit more in this 5 o'clock hour. We'll also take a look ahead to Sunday's action in the NFL. All right, let's hear from Dave Archer. He does the color commentary for the Atlanta Falcons. Here he is talking about the depth of weapons that the Falcons have.
Well, and that's the key, right? I mean, that's something that you want as a quarterback, is to be able to have different guys that can affect the game and maybe win the game for you. I mean, we haven't even really talked about Kyle Pitts. I mean, Kyle is as good a tight end, pass-catching tight end, as you're going to see. We just haven't seen enough of it. We saw it his rookie year, and then his growth has been stunted based on quarterback play. We're hoping that that's going to blossom here with Kirk. It hasn't yet in the first 2 weeks. He's caught a couple of passes. He caught a couple of key moments, caught a touchdown pass against the Steelers, but it's really been a few far between. Drake London, we saw Drake London, some of the things he can do the first 2 years of his career. He's got like 140 catches in his first two seasons, but still the effect of a game and winning a game like he did on Monday night, those things are coming. And then you bring in, like you said, Mooney and Ray McCloud, who've been around the league. They've had some moments in their career, but no really star moments. So it's a blend of guys that are kind of coming together to try to develop an identity with one another. And Kirk Cousins is the key. He's the guy that's distributed. He talked about openly after the game that he was disappointed that he didn't get more people involved. So that's, again, his service-oriented background and him wanting to get everybody involved in the game is going to help him, but it's certainly going to bring these guys out and let them be known a little bit more as mainline guys.
I do want to play what Carl Dukes had to say here in a bit, but I'll give Kirk Cousins this credit. I think as football fans, we have tried to kind of throw every quarterback in the Alex Smith category. We were doing this with Dak Prescott at a time when Alex Smith has never been as good as Dak Prescott currently is. I think you have to give Kirk Cousins a lot of credit for how consistent he's been in the National Football League. And one of the reasons that the NFL quarterback state is in the state that it is there aren't a lot of guys like Kirk Cousins. This is the biggest gap to me that we have ever seen between the have teams and the have not teams. We used to kind of look at those four or five teams like, man, they got bad quarterback play. It's about 10 or 12 teams that have bad quarterback play. Pittsburgh has bad quarterback play. Carolina has bad quarterback play. The Raiders, we can go up and down the list. There's not a lot of guys anymore in that middle tier. And a lot of the conversation that we have had is, well, you can't pay that guy, just go draft a quarterback. Right now, would you rather have Kirk Cousins or Bo Nix as your quarterback? Because I think the answer is very obvious. You have no chance of doing anything if Bo Nix is your quarterback this season. You got a chance to do something if it's Kirk Cousins, especially in the NFC, that you don't have to go through the Mahomes and Allen and Burrow and those guys. You got to go through Jared Goff and Matthew Stafford and Jalen Hurts and Brock Purdy. Atlanta has a chance. Now, I don't think Atlanta's going to the Super Bowl, but the drive that they had in week two is all you need to, that drive's not possible with any of the rookie quarterbacks right now in the league. That drive's not possible with any of the second year quarterbacks in the league other than CJ Stroud. So we always say, just go get yourself a young guy, go get yourself a rookie. Man, the young guys in this league are struggling, where the guys who have been in the league 5+ years or so, those guys are starting to have some success. I want to play for you guys what Carl Dukes had to say, and we'll get back to the Royals here momentarily. Here is Carl Dukes. He does after noons in Atlanta for 92.9. Here he is talking about the Atlanta defense and how it matches up against the Chiefs.
So, Carrington, I asked that question yesterday to Raheem Morse, and he kind of laughed, because the reality is nobody's figured out Patrick Mahomes, right? I mean, nobody. You got to have a little luck. You got to hope he throws it to you at some point. And the other side of that is, you know, no Isaiah Pacheco, And I said that to him, and he said, that doesn't matter. The Big Red, the Chiefs will find a way to move the football and getting scoring position. I think more than anything, the fact that the Falcons have been as stout as they have been against the run, especially against these first two teams, you know, in the Steelers and the Eagles, they kept these teams out of the end zone, man. And I think that's something that you think about and you say, okay, maybe, you know, Patrick's going to get his yards. He's going to do what he does. But if we can attempt to slow down the run, maybe we make it a little bit more difficult on Mahomes. And that's all he said. You know, like, there's no secret. Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback and the best player in the NFL, and that's why he's done what he's done. I think they go into this game, and they attempt to stop the run, slow the run, and then hopefully create some turnovers because they know that they're up against it on Sunday against the best in the business.
I mean, to me, Atlanta's best chance in this game, at least from a defensive perspective, is to try and win the turnover battle. You've got probably one of the three best safety rooms in the league. Can you force Patrick Mahomes to make one or two mistakes? Can you get the young guy, Carson Steele, to put the ball on the ground? Can you limit possessions by the Kansas City Chiefs and win the turnover differential? I don't think Atlanta has a great defense. I think it's okay. It's fine. But I don't look at them as one of the stout defenses. I think Baltimore's defense is better than theirs. And I think that their defense is probably comparable to where Cincinnati's is. The Chiefs moved the ball and scored against Cincinnati. I think they'll be able to move the ball against this Atlanta team. Are they going to be able to convert in the red zone? That's kind of why the game was close at the end. The Chiefs had a couple of opportunities to put the ball in the end zone and kick field goals. If you do that and you leave money on the table, you give yourself a chance to lose at the end of the game. So, Rob, let's get back to the Royals. We'll talk for them a bit, and we'll also take a look ahead at week three of the NFL slate. Are you feeling good? Where are you at mentally right now with the Royals as we head into this very important three-game set? I feel really good about today, just given the pitcher that you're going up against. He has given up 37 hits, so the Royals should be able to get on base. The Royals should be able to get something going here, and this could be the catalyst to turning this thing around in the final 10 days of the season. You don't need to go out there and really beat this guy around, but you need to put together some quality ABs. You need to rough him up early, and of the next 3 days that you have, this is the one you cannot afford to lose. There is no bigger gap in the pitching disparity than this game that they have tonight with Michael Wacha going for the Royals and you going up against Mason Black, who has a 7 ERA in the baseball season. There's two more weekends left in the baseball season, and the kid has a 7 ERA. You got to get on this guy, and you got to get on this guy early if you are the Royals offense.
So I'm confident tonight for everything you just said. I actually think that if you're a gambling man, you're looking to place a little wager because the starter tonight is so bad. Over 4.5 total runs to the Royals, 4.5 total runs feels like the play. I like they get off the Schneid tonight against a bad pitcher. But you asked me my confidence in the Royals as a whole. Man, the math says continue to be confident. And I'm going to trust the math. I'm going to say at 153 games in, the math people have a pretty good idea of what the teams are. And it's Fangraphs is saying 90%. Baseball Reference is saying, what, 88%? 85%? They are telling you the overwhelming favorite is the Royals are going to find their way into the playoffs. I think we talked about it earlier with Vern. You can catch it on the podcast page. How the third wild card has created a little bit of a soft landing. And the Twins, playing objectively worse baseball right now than the Royals, also bodes my confidence. If they win this series, I'll puff my chest out with confidence. But right now, I stay on the side of they are a playoff team because all the math indicates they are a playoff team.
What do you think is the bigger story on Monday? The Royals losing their series or the Chiefs losing on Monday Night Football on a last-second field goal?
It should be the Royals. If the Royals lose the series to the Giants, they're probably in the third spot, chewing on their fingernails, and that's the bigger story.
Yeah, I want the Royals to create a little separation, and I think the last week of the season is obviously going to have some stress. It can be far less stressful if they win these next two series. If they win these next two series, they're going to the postseason. You got two series that you should win. If you are a playoff team, you should beat the Giants at home, and you should beat the Washington Nationals anywhere. if this team is a playoff team, they got 10 final days to show you. Even if you back into the postseason, you got two landing spots, whether it's the second wild card spot or the third wild card spot. Just take care of your business. The schedule has broken in your favor down the stretch. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
I want to read this to you really quickly. So this is from John Ketz. He works at Fox 4. Friend of the show. You guys know who he is. So a state lawmaker told him, quote, "I think if we're going to keep the Chiefs in Jackson County, there will have to be another vote. Quote, I think the Chiefs would be open to a deal where they get the 3/8 of a cent sales tax and they're able to use that to renovate or expand GEHA Field." State House Representative John Patterson, he told Fox 4 today. Now, you guys know that I am all hopeful and optimistic about the Chiefs and their chances to stay in Jackson County. But I hope that the plan for Missouri is not, well, Kansas is going to give them a brand new stadium. We are going to help them renovate the old stadium. That doesn't sound like a good plan to me. Now, maybe I'm wrong. And Clark has said that ideally he would like to stay here. But, I mean, let's just use our common sense here. The lure from one side is we are going to build you a state-of-the-art, brand new. If you want SoFi, we can do that. If you want Allegiant Stadium, we can do that. I don't know if now the plan is going to be, oh, well, hey, we'll just give you the money now to renovate it and you guys can keep the tax. Maybe that is enough, but that is not what my plan would be. I do agree with them that if the Chiefs are going to stay in Jackson County, there's going to have to be another vote because you have to figure out where the money is coming from. The Chiefs are not paying for their stadium, especially when one state has said we will pay for a majority of it. So we don't have to spend too much time. We don't even have that much time left, Rob, but I hope that their plan is a little bit more is, well, now we'll just give you the tax. I said that from the beginning. Remember, I said, I don't think if the Chiefs stay, we ever get from underneath this tax. I think we are always going to pay this tax if you want to keep the Chiefs in Kansas City. I think the plan is going to be that the Royals are going to have to find a different way to fund it. And there are other ways to pay for your stadium than just a strict sales tax. But if you want to keep the Chiefs in Kansas City, part of the stipulation is going to be that tax is now coming to us.
I'm curious what the, like, let's say the Chiefs roll out another plan. Like, hey, you guys are going to vote again? Here's a new plan. Do you think the Chiefs' plan would have to be better? Because, listen, I understand there are lots of reasons why the previous vote failed. It is not one thing. But I think on the list of reasons is an underwhelming plan from the Chiefs. And if this comes up to a vote again, the Chiefs will yet again have to show us being people in Jackson County and voters, how we use that money. If they roll out another plan that says, hey, we have a, what did they call it? Initiation zone or activation zone. And we have more parking and the people that we actually care about coming to games get private parking. I don't know that's going to pass. So like there's a lot at play more than just they got to get a vote again. They got to then give us a plan that would be interesting to vote for.
You know what Jackson County has? They have the concept of a plan. That's what they have. They have the concept of a plan.
Meanwhile, the Royals
They were asked directly, what is your plan? They have a concept of a plan. We don't know. It's a top secret plan that we got to give them the money, and then they'll unveil to us what the concept of the plan is for the new...
Thing is double top secret?
Yeah, no, triple. Triple.
No one can know the plan. That's how good it is.
Yeah, triple top secret. Vern sent me a text and said that the Royals are expecting 21,000 people in attendance out at tonight's ballgame. So
that's not bad. I'd like to see it get to 25.
Yeah, I would love for it to get to 25.
I don't know. It's gonna.
It doesn't sound like they're going to get to 25, but
that'd be a nice number.
They think that it is.
21's not. You know what? 21's not great, but 21's not bad. I'm not going to crush 21.
No, 21's not
bad.
They
should do better.
It's better than the 15 they had last Friday. They had 15. So
I was at that 15. 21, that was bad.
21 feels like something. I actually placed a slight wager on the game today just to make it a little bit more fun for myself while I'm out there. I took the Royals on the money line. I took Tommy Pham and Bobby Witt Jr. to both get a hit. Got that at plus 200. So
you might have two legs done in the first inning.
That's what I'm hoping. Certainly against that guy. I was really about to get crazy and put Salvador Perez. I was like, you know what? Let me just calm down. Let me just make these two. Let me just do a little plus 185. Let me go and call it a day, man. Let me just make the game a little bit more fun for me while I'm out there. All right, I had a lot of fun today. Hopefully you guys had a lot of fun as well. We had a great week, man. We got to change that tuna casserole open, man. That's going to be my goal for next week, man. That's going to be my goal.
You think it's getting done in 1 week? Good luck.
You think it's getting multiple weeks?
I think it's going to be a Halloween problem.
Oh, wow. You think we got it for a while?
I think we're pot committed.
You think we're pot committed? It's hilarious. All right. Take care of yourself. We'll catch you guys on Monday. I'll let Daniel Craig take you home.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.